very special thanks to our $5 fans, Dennis Bailey, Kevin Cup, Pavan Rajam, Stuart Scott Curran, Andy Davies, and Jason Cosper. So we have a podcast again now.
Yeah, and now you can give us money.
Yes, you can give us money. All you have to do is direct yourself to patreon.com/letsmakemistakes.
You give us $5 and we read your name on the air.
Yeah, then we get $5 and you don't have to listen to an ad about a razor.
Or mattresses. What's with the razors? Was it really hard to go to Walgreens or Duane Reade and get a fucking razor?
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm unclear. I think that they're like, they're German.
Like, I get that it's a pain in the ass to buy a mattress.
Yeah, but it isn't anymore because I think everybody's just, it wasn't even really, was it a pain in the ass? You go to a store, you lie on a thing.
Yeah, it's weird. It was weird. So you go to a mattress store, right? It's one of those places where like the price listed is never what you're supposed to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're supposed to do some mattress haggling. Which already sounds weird.
Yeah.
And you're with all these other people laying there, you're supposed to just like casually lay down on the mattress.
Uh-huh.
And you spend like 8 hours on this thing, right?
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah. So, not at the store.
Well, yeah, but that's just it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to like, so you like casually lay down in public on a mattress for a couple minutes and make this and decide whether, yeah, I could sleep here.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It is weird.
So I could see how that could have needed some improvement. I don't see how just ordering one through the mail improves that.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. And they have pop-ups sometimes, some places, but then it's no less awkward than, I think it's far more awkward to take a nap in like the middle of a mall kiosk than like a weird like sleep number store next to a Trader Joe's.
Yeah, that's weird too.
Yeah. I'd rather go to Trader Joe's.
But the razor thing, like.
Yeah. All I can think of is that they say like, they're German engineered or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, so are concentration camps.
Oh, we don't need to outsource that anymore. We got them right here.
Yeah, no, we got American made.
Yeah.
So he is bringing jobs back.
Oh, no.
Okay. I mean, that's just kind of a way to end the whole podcast.
Yeah. Strong episode two.
Let's talk about the opposite of that.
Okay. What is the opposite of that?
I haven't been to Disneyland in maybe 3 years.
Ooh, okay. 3 years. So a lot has happened.
Which is a lot.
Uh-huh.
You go like what? Once a month?
I think last year I was going like once a month. I actually haven't been in a, like since the beginning of the year, which is very strange for me.
That's a lot for you.
It's a lot of time away for me. Yeah. It's difficult. Yeah. So what have you missed? You missed Pixar Pier. You missed the Tower of Terror, Guardians of the Galaxy, the ride.
About Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge. That just opened at the end of May. I haven't even been yet.
Yeah, I gotta go. I want to go see that.
Yeah, I heard it's very big and very cool.
And that's where they put that.
They put that. So a few years ago, maybe since the last time you went, they closed off part of the Rivers of America. They reduced it by, I want to say, like about 1/3. Like the actual river.
Uh-huh.
And so Galaxy's Edge is partially like where that river was. I don't know if you remember Big Thunder Ranch Barbecue and like the petting zoo. So those are gone.
Yeah, well, nothing ever happened there.
The goats were pretty cool. You ever visit the goats?
They were delicious.
Yeah.
Is Toontown gone?
Oh, no. Toontown is still there. That's where those people had the big fight.
Shut up. What fight?
I can't believe you haven't seen the Toontown fight.
No.
I don't even know if I want to encourage people to watch it. It's quite bad.
Okay, so we don't want anybody to go watch it, but why don't you just describe it?
Just a very bad fight like punching fight and like hair dragging, like violence towards women.
What?
Like super weird, loud swearing. In Toontown of all places. Yeah.
So who was this, like two warring families or people within the same family?
I couldn't tell if it was two warring families or like if it was the same one and they were all mad at each other, but it involved like I think a woman in like one of the electric like wheelchair thingies and like there was a stroller and like people being shoved onto the ground and dragged by their hair and like being called really bad things. It was very triggering.
When did this happen?
This, I want to say like a week or two ago.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I missed this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody get hurt?
Oh, undoubtedly.
I mean, based on
the video, like the way that people were being battered around, like definitely people got hurt. Yes.
Who goes to Disneyland to get into a fight?
Unfortunately, I mean, the social clubs.
Social clubs?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you know, the people who walk around Disneyland. Sorry, now I was just talking to Mike about Disneyland. There are groups of people who, like, kind of look like maybe biker gangs, but, like, Disney-themed biker gangs, or, like, wearing, like, denim vests that have pins, and they've got Disney tattoos, and, like, they all walk around together. Have you not seen this?
I've seen the people in the pins.
Yeah, well, those are, I mean, there's just pin traders, but then there's what are called social clubs. They look like biker gangs. Like if you think of a biker gang.
They're Disney-themed biker gangs.
They're Disney-themed biker gangs.
Okay.
But they did start feuding with each other. Disneyland refused to get involved with it.
What the hell were they feuding with each other
about? It was like a turf wars thing. And it's so silly because like the names of their respective social clubs were like Firehouse 33 and like the White Rabbit TikTok Doodles. Like, I don't know. They were so silly, but they were like threatening violence against each other.
Jesse, I'm asking this honestly. Is there anything we can't ruin?
Oh, I think everything can be ruined. Everything, right?
So, okay. So you've got warring gangs.
Yes.
In Disneyland.
Yes.
And they're Disney-themed gangs.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're arguing about Disney stuff, yes?
Unclear. I mean, like arguing about...
Oh, well, let me rephrase
that. Which princess is the best?
Well, I mean, they're specific to Disneyland. It's not like two warring gangs found themselves at Disneyland at the same time.
They're Disneyland gangs.
Okay.
Yes.
So this fight is very specific to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got people beating each other up and pulling each other's hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah. Times are changing. But I still love it there. And most of the time, nobody's violent. And that's nice.
I've been there a bunch, and uh-huh. I don't think I've ever seen any violence.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten my ankles rear-ended by an angry stroller mom.
Angry stroller mom? Oh, like she did it on purpose?
Yes. Somebody purposefully rammed a stroller into my ankles.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Yes. What'd you do?
Nothing.
I mean, what'd you do afterwards?
It's one of those things where like, you know, like the parade just gets out and like they were doing some like traffic rerouting around uh-huh. like Tomorrowland. And so everybody was just in kind of like a herd of people that was like, everybody's moving one step at a time. And the crowd is so thick that like you can't, you know, make your own path or wind around. And the lady behind me was just like so mad about it that she hit me.
Because it was your fault, obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
That was your parade.
Yeah. There is no way she should have ever thought that was my fault in any way. Because, you know, there were thousands of people around us and it's not like I could have done anything about it. She was just mad. Took it out on me. It's a tough world out there, Mike.
Well, no, I don't want to go.
Oh, but it's so nice there.
We saw a fight today just coming in here.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really a fight. We just saw somebody attack someone.
We saw somebody attack. There was yelling. There was honking. It was quite a commotion.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
Yeah. I think I've lived in the Tenderloin for so long that I just like, I don't feel anything anymore.
I think everybody needs to chill a lot.
Yeah. Smoke that legal weed.
Right?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, weed is legal now.
That's
mostly
what Disneyland
everywhere.
Should have put in instead of the bar in Galaxy's Edge because they serve alcohol there now. Do you know
no
that?
Way.
For the first time in history, wow, Disneyland serves alcohol to the public.
But that was like against Walt's wishes.
Yes.
I mean, letting minorities in was against Walt's wishes too.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, God, he was racist as hell.
Well, I know that he was racist, but I don't actually think that they disallowed anybody from Disneyland, right?
There's a lot of ways to discourage things from happening.
Sure is. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. It was a different time. People were bad in different ways.
Oh, they managed to find new ways to be bad every day.
Yeah.
You're 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
Your parents take you to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging out in Toontown, which, by the way, is not my favorite part of the park.
There's a special place for it.
It's like the hottest part of the park. There's no shade.
Oh, you're going in the daytime? That's your mistake.
But it closes early for fireworks.
Not if you go during an in-between season where they're switching out the fireworks shows.
God damn it.
So if you go like right before Halloween or like right before Christmas, like when they cancel the fireworks shows, then Toontown is open for the full time that the park is open, but nobody knows it. And so recently I was in Toontown and me and my three friends were the only people in Toontown and everything was open. We went to Mickey's house. We taught him how to tap dance. We hung out for a good 30 minutes with Mickey Mouse for no reason. We went on the Gadgets Go Coaster and they let us just stay in the seats and they just ran the ride as many times as we wanted to go.
Sweet.
On it. It was amazing. So now I love Toontown.
So when is this again?
Any time they're doing like firework switchovers, so there are no nighttime
I didn't even know firework switchovers were a thing.
Oh, yeah, because they do like the Halloween show and then they'll do a Christmas show and they have to get everything set up differently.
When's the next switchover?
Probably before Halloween.
But are we talking like a couple days or a week or what's the window?
I want to say it's a couple weeks.
Honestly,
like a great time to go is like January when they're striking all the Christmas stuff. Park's pretty chill during that time.
Yeah, I think my next trip, well, apparently I have to train to go to Disneyland again.
Yeah.
In case there's a fight.
Mm-hmm. Do some like endurance training.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a fight in Disneyland. That just seems way too sad.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So you're 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents took you to Disneyland. You're hanging out in Toontown, and all of a sudden a fight breaks out. That's got to mess you up.
Yeah, super intense fight, too. Very intense.
I mean, what do you do after that? Do you just keep going?
Well,
do you go?
One would hope that, like, maybe the parents would say, like, Jimmy, let's go this way and walk away from it. But there are a lot of families where the parents are just, like, watching it and filming it on their phones and taking pictures. And it was a very Black Mirror looking scene.
So Disney's known for like cracking down on stuff like this really quickly in the park.
Yeah, it took 3 minutes for security to arrive to the scene and the fight lasted 3 minutes, which like when you think about it, 3 minutes is not a super crazy response time. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But when you're watching the fight happening and like you're seeing, you know, other cast members like a custodian and stuff who are just kind of like hanging out, it didn't feel good. Wasn't a good look.
Well, I mean, picture a 3-minute YouTube video.
I know.
That's a long video.
3 minutes is long for the world now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even if you're watching you're watching a fight video on YouTube, are you going to watch all 3 minutes?
Well, I watched all 3 minutes of this one.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
But generally, no.
Yeah. That's a lot of video.
No,
so
45 seconds is
I wouldn't want to be in the middle of a fight for 10 seconds, much less 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Scary. Have you ever been in the middle of a fight?
Oh, not since I was like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, those were just like stupid little kid fights. Where,
like slap fights?
Yeah, slap fights. Sounds 95% like posturing and then 5% slapping. And then, you know, a lot of the posturing is like, you know, your friends are holding you back and you're screaming, let me at him, let me at him.
Yeah.
But you're like secretly like, don't let me go. I don't want to get hit.
Uh-huh. That's nice. Good friends.
Yeah.
Holding you back. Disneyland. What else has changed? So there's booze, It's Pixar Pier. It's fine. Whatever. They do a lot of weird snacks now. They're like on the weird snack train, and it's almost like they took a memo from the Japanese parks, like about different flavors and fun things.
Oh my God. Okay. Corn chowder popcorn.
Oh yeah. The corn potage popcorn.
Corn what?
Oh, it's called corn potage.
What the hell is potage?
That's like what they call the corn chowder in Japan. And you, like, you know, the cans of the corn chowder that you can get in like the machines. Yeah. It's called corn potage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we were at Disney Sea.
Mm-hmm. The best park.
It really is.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
Even if you don't give any shits about Disney or Disneyland or any of it, Disney Sea is amazing.
It's like, did you go underground into the kids area? Like the little,
weird little mermaid thing?
With yes.
Like the elastic walls and yeah.
Holy shit.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And then we had like dinner on a steamship in the Teddy Roosevelt room. Yeah.
Which is like apparently like, aside from the fact that like they now have like it permanently gated down, like I heard that that ship is seaworthy.
No shit.
Yeah. Like they would have to do work on it now because like they basically opened up the sides, but she's otherwise seaworthy from what I understand.
So did they start with the ship?
I think that they were thinking that maybe the ship would take people on a little cruise before.
Oh.
Yeah. Like Mark, all of Mark Twain. But then they're just like, let's just dock that shit and
yeah,
open
that
a restaurant.
That seems like an insurance nightmare.
There's a volcano that erupts.
I know.
It's cool.
It's really cool. I loved Tokyo Sea. Mm. Disney Sea. Mm. What the hell?
Tokyo Disney Sea. Yes.
Yeah. It's been my favorite park. Paris?
Paris is beautiful, and all of the cast members are so French.
Oh, that means it sucked.
The castle is probably the best castle.
It's a great castle.
So there's a dragon in it.
I know.
It's
so
crazy.
I wasn't being racist.
You weren't being racist?
No.
Was I being racist?
No.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that we like somebody doesn't tell us we were racist against French people.
Yeah, it's just so cast members, which are what Disney calls all of their employees.
Yeah.
They're all cast members. So if you go to really any other park, they're all trained to be like super friendly and super helpful and like just like happy and enthusiastic. Like if you're wearing a birthday pin in Disneyland, like every cast member will say like, happy birthday, Mike. Happy birthday, Mike. They're all like happy about it.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Oh, but in Paris, do they care that you're there?
They really don't give a shit.
No.
No. In Tokyo, so the thing that struck me about Tokyo, besides how amazingly beautiful the park was there, is how long it would take you to get on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can gauge how long a line's going to take in Disneyland because mm-hmm. I've been there long enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there enough times and I can tell like, oh, that's a 30-minute line. That's a 45-minute line. So we went to Disney Sea and I was looking at lines and thinking, oh, that's a 20-minute line. And then we'd be in there an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was taking that long is because to get you into, like, the cast members were super nice to the point of just get on with it already.
Yeah. Hawaii has that same problem everywhere you go to.
Like they were just super attentive and so many pleases and thank yous while they're strapping you into the ride.
Yes.
And I think American service workers, mm-hmm. especially when they're like annoyed teens, but I've also gone through like team member or cast member training.
Mm-hmm.
It's that special combination of get the fuck on the ride and I'm going to smile while I do it
because mm-hmm.
I've been trained to smile while I do it.
They're very good at it.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Like they can move you. They can move you through.
And you don't feel like you're being rushed even though you are being rushed.
Right.
Yes.
Disney Paris, I felt like they were just throwing you on there.
Yeah, Disney Paris, they have no smoking signs everywhere.
Which nobody pays attention to.
Everybody smokes.
Yeah.
You can smoke in front of the employees. They will not blink an eye. I got in a line for a ride and the cast member was just like, this ride is not very good. You probably don't want to wait in the line.
Seriously?
So I left. they just don't, like, a lot of their food stands are just, like, not open. Like, the ice cream shops were all open in the summertime when it was 100 degrees out because they just, like, didn't care.
I want to go to the one in Beijing.
Shanghai.
There's no Shanghai?
Disney. Yeah, there's no Disneyland in Beijing. There's okay, one well, in Hong that was Kong, racist. One in Shanghai. That's all fine.
Right. Shanghai.
Yeah. It looks wild. That castle looks too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Paris, Tokyo, World, and Land.
Man, I got issues with World.
Why do you have issues with World? I think it's a fascinating place. Sorry to everybody. Yeah, if there are people who don't care about Disney World and Disneyland and all of these, then I think you should reevaluate personally.
But I used to be one of those people.
Oh, really?
I wanted nothing to do with it.
Why was that?
Because it just, like, the whole Disney thing, like princesses and who cares?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was before, like, I mean, Disney owned everything.
Yeah. They own everything now. And also, like, while all of the princesses do have, like, a major presence and there's, like, princess yeah. castles, like, it doesn't actually feel like a very princessy place to me, I guess, other than the castle.
Yeah. But also, I wasn't a big, I wasn't an amusement park person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I grew up, like, going to, like, Six Flags.
Yeah, I grew up going to Disneyland. So I didn't understand places like Six Flags. Like, right. That was weird to me. It looked like they hadn't finished it.
Right. So to me, it was just like, I, like, get on this and throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got tricked.
How did you get tricked?
Well, we went down south and we were headed to Legoland. Because
mm-hmm.
my kid was, you know, Legoland age.
Oh, yeah.
Aged.
And you're not allowed to go to Legoland without a child.
Really?
Yeah. Like, adults can't go alone.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, Legoland's definitely, like, it's amazing, but it's a place that kids, I think, age out of.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we were headed to Legoland, and the plan was to, we landed in L.A. We were going to drive to San Diego and go to Legoland the next day. It's, like, between L.A. and San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we landed in San Diego, and Erica's like, let's go to Disneyland. And it was like 3 o'clock. I said, we can't go to Disneyland. It's 3 o'clock. What? It's going to close in like a couple hours. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like open till midnight.
Yeah.
Anyway, we shut that down.
Yeah. And this is just Disneyland Park, not yeah. like California Adventure.
Yeah. We didn't do we just did the one park.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the first time that I was in an amusement park that didn't feel, that didn't suck.
Okay, so I want you to take me through this. So I assume you parked there.
Yeah.
You get there, you probably had to walk through downtown Disney or take a tram. And like, what are you feeling at this moment where like you've parked and you see all these people and you're like in this weird in-between state of not having entered the park yet?
Well, first off, it's like, there's a ton of people here. I'm gonna hate this.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a ton of people. And downtown Disney, it's not great.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
No. It's just like a little slice of Fisherman's Wharf.
Exactly.
In the middle of Anaheim.
Exactly. But then you get in the park,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, there's still a ton of people, but it feels like you were saying that, like theme parks feel unfinished. It just feels like you're in it.
Yes.
Like you've walked into a totally immersive place,
mm-hmm.
and you're now completely in that place, and it's like it's the details.
Yeah,
it's like all of the little details, like how you can't see one land from inside another land,
mm-hmm.
and how everything just fits together so perfectly, and how you know the going down Main Street, the second floors are shorter than the first floors to make them look taller to little kids.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff like that. And stories.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that Disneyland has that theme parks don't have is stories.
Yes. So did it kind of wash over you like right when you walked in and you were just like that switch flipped, or did it take a little bit of time for it to set in?
It took a little bit of time, not uh-huh. too long.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, probably a lot of that was because I was with somebody who was thrilled to be there.
Uh-huh. Which is delightful.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we went and saw like Mr. Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how the fuck is that happening? It looks almost human. It's weird.
Yeah.
And you know, then you ride Space Mountain and you're like, that's it. You're done.
Yeah. Oh, Space Mountain is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we went back every year for a while.
Yeah, it's such a nice place. And I think I personally find it fairly easy to kind of ignore like the commercialism and like all the things that people complain the most, or like the things that people grump out on the most about like Disneyland and why they don't like it. They're like, oh, it's just like merch. I don't know.
I don't understand what that means. Like, it's a Disney themed park.
Yeah, like, there's nothing secretive about like what they're doing there.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that Disney employs so many like musicians and actors and performers, and like they just have like live music everywhere all the time. And I think it's really cool. They employ a lot of dancers. Like, that's pretty much the only way to make money as a dancer anymore. But it's nice. I like that they support the arts.
I mean, and they've been very friendly towards lots of groups.
Yes, I find them to be quite inclusive.
Yeah.
They like embrace Gay Day, and they sell special merch now, of course, because it's a money-making opportunity. Sure. But like they allow there's, like a lot of different things to
there's Goth there. Day.
Oh, Bat Day.
Bat Day.
Yeah, which I was accidentally there for once, and it was very confusing.
I was there once for Bat Day.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did you know that it was going to be Bat Day?
No.
So for all of you listeners at home, Bat Day is like the goth day. And though at the time I went, it was during a solar eclipse. So
God
I'm there.
Damn.
And like, I didn't know that there was going to be a solar eclipse, and I didn't know that it was going to be Bat Day. And I just remember like at some, like I had kept on seeing people around the park, and I was just like, wow, like this goth style is like getting a lot more popular now. But like at one point, I think I got off Pirates of the Caribbean, and the solar eclipse was happening, and I saw my shadow, and it was like all fucked up. And then I'm looking around, and there's just like goth people completely surrounding me. It was a very confusing experience.
It's like you walked out of the ride and into like a brand new world.
Yes. Yeah. They've got Dapper Day. Where people,
what's Dapper Day?
It started as like people like dressing up in like dapper style, like suspenders and bow ties and a dress with a petticoat and whatnot.
So like Jim Ray Day?
Yes, basically Jim Ray Day. But now, and this unfortunately is what's kind of happened to all of these themed events, is that it's just like an excuse for people to like dress weird. I think that all of these different things in fashion, like festival wear and like Burning Man wear and cosplaying, it's all just kind of like coagulated together into this one big massive lump of like, you're vaguely dressed like a character, but like a sexy version or a cute version or a 50s version or an 80s version. And that's just everything that happens now.
Well, I don't think you should need an excuse to dress weird.
No.
If you want to dress weird, just dress weird. I don't care.
Yeah. Just don't appropriate Bat Day.
Well, sure, because Bat Day is Bat Day.
Yeah.
Where do you stay?
So my business partner lives about 20 minutes away from the park.
Oh, that's handy.
So usually like I'm just staying with her anyway. There's a guest room there. I have a Disneyland closet and a Disneyland drawer. So like, I just like have all of my ears.
Damn, all your shit's already there.
Yeah. All my shit's already there. My poncho, like the jackets, like all the right stuff, like all the Disneyland bags, like, yeah, it's all there.
Nice.
It's very convenient.
I've never stayed on property.
Ooh, I've stayed at all of the on-property hotel. All three of them. Yeah.
What's the super fancy one?
Grand Californian.
That's it. Grand California. How was that?
If we're not talking about how much it costs to stay at the Grand Californian.
Well, let's just say that it costs more than the other ones,
so
right?
So much money. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. I think that it's modeled roughly after the Aowani in Yosemite,
yeah.
So it's like traditional arts and crafts style. They have this like amazing thing where like they have this beautiful marble floors with like a floral design in it. But then like part of the area is carpeted, and they matched the carpet to the grain and pattern of the marble.
Yes, and so I've seen that.
The marble floor continues into carpeting, and like it's completely seamless, which is insane.
It's pretty amazing.
There's just so many cool details like that. And they recently renovated the rooms, and there's just like outlets and USB plugs everywhere.
Oh, that's
because
handy.
They understand that families
in the traditional arts and crafts style.
In the traditional arts and crafts style, it's just breathtaking. But I think they realize, you know, like families or really anybody traveling has like just a million little dongles and dingles and things to plug in, gadgets and gadgets aplenty and whatnot.
So there's that one, and then there's the ones that the monorail go to, right?
Which is the Disneyland Hotel. And the monorail like kind of almost goes there. It doesn't like actually go to the hotel itself, but that's Disneyland Hotel. It's more like, I don't know, kind of like a regular Disneyland themed.
Yeah.
There's four large towers. There's a pool with the water slides in the middle. It has the best tiki bar. The best bar at Disneyland is Trader Sam's at the Disneyland Hotel. Have you been there?
No.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's the inside is like has like fancy effects and animatronics when you order different drinks. Like things happen in the room, which is really cool.
Nice.
It's kind of like drinking in the tiki room.
And you can go there whether you're staying in the hotel or not.
Anybody can go there.
Yeah.
And then there's like a really large wraparound patio where you can sit outside and there's tiki torches and live music. And it's really nice. Highly recommend it.
We always stay across the street in the cheap motels.
Which one? Parkview, Camelot?
I don't know. Whichever's. I think we've stayed in all of them.
I recommend the Anaheim Hotel. It's just called the Anaheim Hotel. You and Erica would like it a lot.
Is it across the street?
It's across the street, but like one block down. So I believe it's like a 7-minute walk to get to the main gate.
That's not bad.
It's the best. I think so far, it's like one of the best ones that I've stayed in. I really like it.
I mean, all we do there is pass out.
Oh, yeah. And this one is like kind of a fun like 1960s motel theme.
So the park opens at 7, right? Or 8?
It depends on if you're staying on resort. You get the magic hour. You get to go into the park an hour earlier. But yeah, like in season, it's going to open anywhere between like 8 and 10.
Like every time we've been, it opens at 8.
Which is nice.
So we're always like out of bed and like at the gate by like 7:45 or so.
Yeah, you got that Denny's across the street.
You do have the Denny's across the street.
Shout out to Linda, my favorite waitress there.
Hi, Linda. I think there's a Marie Callender's too.
No, there's an IHOP.
What's a place to get pie?
What's the place to get pie? Well, I mean, Marie Callender's is a pie place, but they don't have a Marie Callender's like on that like across the street strip. Does IHOP have pie? Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, when we go, we open it up and we shut it down.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
As it should be done. Do you take breaks?
We take breaks by going to the other park.
Uh-huh.
So you start in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets really hot in Disneyland or whatever, we switch over to California Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go back to Disneyland.
Do you have like favorite like sit-in places or like when you do need to just like rest your feet or sit down or have a snack or whatever? Like what are your favorite spots?
Tiki room.
Oh, you just go to the tiki room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the show at the tiki room, like get your Dole Whip.
Yeah.
Go inside for a show. Mm-hmm. It's the coolest spot.
Yes.
In Disneyland. You can just sit there with your Dole Whip watching, you know, animatronic birds make vaguely racist commentary at each other.
But it's about everybody, so it's fine.
Sure, whatever. And they're birds. The safari ride.
Jungle Cruise?
Jungle Cruise. How'd mm-hmm. I forget that? Jungle Cruise is also like a great place to sit
mm-hmm.
when you're getting tired.
It's true. Small World is too because it's, I think, one of the longest rides and it's very air conditioned, but some people can't handle the music.
Well, you know, then just avoid a Small World.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, this whole episode feels like a giant ad for Disney shit. I'm amazed it took us 2 episodes to start talking about Disneyland, quite honestly.
Yeah, how do we spin this into something that's more related to what people want to hear us talk about, which is
I think this design. Is what people will hear us talk about.
Yeah. They do good design at Disneyland.
All right, so yeah, okay, so we can talk about here. So you said when they opened up Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
They had to cut Rivers of America.
Yes.
In
I think by about 30%, 20-30.
So the River of America still goes all the way around it's not Tom Sawyer's Island anymore, is it?
I think it is still called Tom Sawyer Island, but then there's like a Pirate's Cove on it. But I think it's still Tom Sawyer Island.
Okay, great.
It's just not Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse anymore. That's the one that got changed.
Tarzan's Treehouse. All right, so the Rivers of America goes all the way around Tom Sawyer's Island.
Correct.
There's 2 ships.
Yes, the Columbia and the Mark Twain.
Right. And so they still do that.
Yes. And those boats are my favorite.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
Yes.
But so they took a third of the river away?
Yeah.
How'd they do that? They narrow the river?
They put up dams, uh-huh. like just to 3 and 9 o'clock of the the island thingy, so that like if you're walking like kind of in that main area, like New Orleans Square,
right,
like you could see like that kind of half circle of river. So there were dams there that had perfect pictures of like what it looked like beyond that. So it was like an illusion where it looked like it was just continuing on. And then they drained the back half of the river.
No shit.
Yeah. So the front part was still rivery, but they drained the back half and just like re-landscaped the entire thing.
So what do the ships do now?
The ships just, they go around, but like, it's just like they just, they then filled the rest of the river back up. So like they removed the dams, they filled it. They just like took an extra little like curve out of it to gain more land.
Okay.
So now there's still, yeah, there's still like a, it goes in a circle.
So this is what I love about Disneyland and what makes it appropriate to a design podcast, mm-hmm. if we are a design podcast, is Walt screwed himself when he bought the plot for Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a relatively small plot right in the middle of Anaheim.
Yeah, it's like 1 square mile or something.
Right. And like to me, the amazing thing about Disneyland that you don't get with the other parks is that they've been adding rides and changing things and reinventing themselves constantly. And they have to keep doing it in that 1 square mile.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So there's all this weird shit that they have to do.
To make it all
fit together.
Yes.
And that to me is what makes it like a giant design puzzle.
Oh my gosh, I know. Like Indiana Jones ride is all underneath the parking lot, I think.
Right.
Same with Haunted Mansion.
Right. So in Haunted Mansion, this is like probably the most iconic example. When you get in a Haunted Mansion, you go into the expanding room,
mm-hmm.
right?
The stretching room.
Right. Do you know the Vincent Price monologue?
No.
You don't remember it?
I don't. When
the room starts stretching.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's not coming to me right now.
All right.
But yeah. Yeah, of course I know that.
Right. But I'm sure you know this, the whole reason for the stretching room was they needed a way for the actual ride to get you down into the ground and outside the park, cuz both Haunted Mansion and Indiana Jones are under the parking lot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe Indiana Jones is in a warehouse, actually, which is crazy because, like, there are things in Disneyland that you can see that's just, like, a giant fucking warehouse, but they paint it this special color of green, and, like, you just don't see these buildings. It's wild.
Right. So they've been working with this constraint of, first off, the whole thing is this hub and spoke design.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk through, you walk in, you go through Main Street, you hit the Mickey and Walt statue.
Yep.
And that's the center of the park, right?
More or less.
And then all of the lands go out in little hubs.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had to keep working within that constraint.
Yes.
While adding a ton of shit.
Yeah, it's wild. They just build over, build under. They hide everything. It's really cool. And like I think what you were saying about the stretching room, like they needed to make that into an elevator again to like get people below ground. But that ended up being such a successful component of what the ride is that every single other instance of the Haunted Mansion does the same thing.
Right.
Even though they didn't need to.
Right. And see, that's the weird thing to me about Walt Disney World mm-hmm. in Florida. Is this thing that was designed because it had to work a certain way to fit into the rest of the stuff. It's been replicated in the middle of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why it works that way doesn't exist anymore, at least there in that particular location.
Yeah.
So Disneyland was designed to fit a particular location, and the rides were designed because of the constraints of that location.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is what makes the whole design, what makes Disneyland an incredibly interesting place for designers.
Yeah. I mean, another thing, like aside from Haunted Mansion, is I think things like Indiana Jones, where like the line experience, like the experience of waiting in line for the ride is like half of the fun.
Yeah. And it's an incredibly long line because it's taking you out to a giant warehouse.
Yeah. But you still feel like you're in the same jungle. It's
right.
Crazy. Yeah, I love things like that. It's so interesting. And that's why it's just like when I talk to people who work in creative positions, especially as designers, like UI designers, who go to Disneyland and don't see any of that, I think that they're phonies. It makes me so mad.
I mean, yeah, that's a really good point.
It is a good point.
Yeah. All right. We done?
I mean.
We're going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if I like surprised you at the end of this podcast by telling you that we had actual plane tickets to go?
I mean, that would be great.
I mean, I'm not doing it, obviously, because I'm cheap.
We can do a Let's Make Mistakes live from Disneyland someday.
Oh my God.
I got friends there.
You've been to Club 33, right?
Yes. I went to the old one. I've been to the new one. I've been to the private part. Yeah.
Wait, what new one?
Oh, Mike. It's been so long.
How old is the new one?
A couple years old.
God damn it.
Maybe 3 or 4. Yeah, it's not in the same exact place anymore. The entrance is Angel's Court, which was like, there was like a big like staircase thing towards the back of New Orleans Square that's now gated off. That's the entrance for New Club 33.
Why'd they move it?
They made it bigger and they added a private members only bar to it, which is pretty cool.
How do you get to be a member?
To be a member, you have to join the waiting list, which rumor has it is like a 10 to 15 year long waiting list. Having said that, of course, like if you're the right person or you meet the right person, you can get right off that waiting list. And then I believe like last time I heard about it, I want to say that it was like somewhere around a $20,000 initiation fee and like an $8,000 annual fee. And that includes like, you know, like an annual pass or whatever, and then like X number of additional guest passes per year. And you can make reservations for other people maybe up to 10 times a year. They've cracked down on a lot because people were abusing the shit out of it.
Well, we were one of those reservations for other people. That's how we got in.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I think it's mostly cool because you get to say you did it.
Yeah. One of the last times I was there, Mark Hamill was there too.
No shit.
And he bumped into my chair and I turned around.
Did he apologize?
And he like very sincerely apologized to me. It's very strange though. Cause like, you know, you bump into your chair. So you look kind of behind you real quick.
There's Luke Skywalker.
And it was motherfucking Luke Skywalker talking to my face. It was amazing.
Damn.
Yeah.
So he's the kind of person who apologizes when he bumps into you.
Oh, he just, so I had spotted him in the dining room earlier, basically greeting every single person. He just looks like he is just so happy to like be living this legacy as Luke Skywalker. And he's just like great with meeting everybody. He's just one of those people where like you can see that he's genuinely like getting so much enjoyment out of the phenomenon that is Star Wars. So,
well, that's cool.
Seems like a great celebrity encounter for people who were like extremely into it because he seemed down for taking every picture and chatting with every weird nerd and all of it. He's a very kind, gracious person who apologizes when he bumps into one's chair.
As everyone should.
Yes.
So this is our second episode since we returned. So last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, when we released the first episode,
mm-hmm.
I was a little excited and a little scared.
I was very scared.
It was weird, right?
It was weird. Yeah, I think that I left and I was just like, well, I had a really good time recording with you, but I was just like, I didn't say anything. I was so dumb and like, it's going to come out and it's whatever. Like, I'll just tweet it. But I did listen to it and I enjoyed it. And I've gotten a lot of nice feedback from people.
The response has been very positive.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really understand, but like, I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah. I don't know why. But it was really nice to have people telling us how excited they were that we were back.
Yeah. I do love any opportunity for validation.
Well, duh.
Duh.
Obviously. So, if you're liking Let's Make Mistakes, go to you can go to our Patreon page.
Yeah, that's patreon.com/letsmakemistakes.
And you can become a $5 fan, and we read your name off at the beginning of the show. And that helps to offset some of the editing and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, the time that we're taking to work from our busy days.
Incredibly busy.
So busy.
So we'll see you all next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which could be next week. It could be next year. But I think the more $5 this we get.
Well, yeah, because we're greedy. So if you start giving us money, we start recording more.
Yeah. So greedy.
Yeah.
So greedy that we're making $5 at a time. Yeah. All right. Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
Cool.
All right.